Welcome back to the McAdoo Studios. Hour number two, Kyle Bailey, now joined by Chris Coleman and Will Stewart of TechSideline.com. They join us every Friday afternoon here in McAdoo Studios. Gentlemen, how are you?
Doing well. How are you?
You are just relaxed. I'm sorry.
This is a nice chair.
Will hasn't even had a chance to say hi. Will, say hi.
Hi.
Now look at Coleman. Look at him. He's like relaxed.
You're the one that brought the chair.
No, I'm not. I'm loving it. I'm just saying, like, you're like reclined at like a 45 degree angle. You got the mic pulled. You're just relaxed right now.
Yeah.
He was on vacation this week.
I need to start. So was I. But yeah. Mine's. Where were you? Pennsylvania.
I went to a wedding up in Pennsylvania, and then went to Cooperstown.
Oh, how was that?
It was excellent.
Yeah.
Two whole blocks of all baseball shops. I got my own personalized pro style Louisville Slugger with my signature on the end.
Really?
Yeah.
That's pretty awesome.
I got a Wonder Boy bat. Yeah, like from The Natural with a lightning bolt and everything.
That's sweet.
Yeah, it's pretty sweet.
You put it in the office or you take it home?
I've got a bat rack. I've got to set it up. I got to figure out where I want to put it. I have limited wall space, so I got to figure out the best spot for
that
it.
That is cool.
Yeah.
What'd you do without him this week, Will?
Had to work. I came into work every day at 7 o'clock instead of 10 o'clock.
Okay.
Had to write articles and stuff.
Yeah.
And stuff.
Good content this week, though.
Yeah.
Good content this week over at TechSideline.com. And some of it was, there was a full written piece, but also infographics on revenue and profits. Anything revelatory there? Anything that people really should know that sticks out? I mean, I think $73 million in revenue? Is that right?
Yeah, Virginia Tech's revenue in the early days of the ACC, it just exploded from, I think their last year in the Big East, which was 2003-04, they had $38 million in revenue.
Mm-hmm.
And within three or four years, they were up in the $60 million range. But if you look at a chart, it's started to kind of stagnate is too strong a word. It's kind of started to stay in the same range between, you know, low 60s and low 70s. But with the college football playoff revenues starting to kick in, I think next year, that's going to bring an extra $4 million. Analysis of that stuff has been done where I think existing bowl agreements and things like that would bring in about $2 million a year per school, and it's going to jump to $6 million a year per school. So starting probably next year, Tech, or the year after that, Tech is going to have, and everybody else.
That's what, like a rising tide, you know, lifts all boats kind of thing, right?
Yeah, that kind of thing. So that's going to help. But, you know, $1 million of that's been carved away by cost of attendance. VT doesn't have the attendance at football games they used to, so that's chipped away at some of it. So mm-hmm. It's, you know, some plus here and some minus there.
You're spending a lot more money on basketball these days.
Right.
Yeah, that's right.
But you know, when we write this article next year at this time, we'll have the data for Whit Babcock's first full year as athletic director. So has he been able to generate new revenue streams, things like that? We'll have a better idea of that next year at this time.
Yeah. Matter of fact, I was telling you guys before this segment started, I was in Kroger twice in the past 24 hours. And the first time I ran to Kroger, I bumped into President Sands, Timothy Sands, in an aisle there. And we started talking about some of this stuff. And I said, look, we want to get you on the air. We want to talk about some things. He said he'd be happy to do it. So we're going to bring him on the air hopefully next week to talk about some of the revenues and profits and the landscape of college athletics and the legislation in Richmond and all those things. So I think this stuff it can be boring, you know, just to talk about numbers and profit margins, but it really does matter a lot.
We do, particularly during the off season, we do a lot of that stuff on Tech Sideline, and it does get involved, and it's not for everybody.
Right.
A lot of people don't have, you know, maybe you have the interest, but you're a page in and your kid starts pulling on your leg or something like that. You know, so you really have to be able, you have to have an interest in, you have to be able to concentrate. So along with the financial stuff that we did earlier in the week, I did an article about student athletic fees. And it was pretty interesting, and we had some infographics to go with it that made it an easy read. But, it's not for everybody, but people always have questions about this stuff, you know, and that's why we run it on the website, and that's why we archive it on the website, so it'll be there for reference.
I guess in terms of keeping up with the Joneses, $73 million in revenue is about where we would expect Virginia Tech to be, yes?
That is, I looked at a chart. Let's see, USA Today did a big breakdown of everybody's revenue and expenses and et cetera, et cetera. And I dumped it all into a spreadsheet and looked at a chart. And I did the Power Five conferences in Notre Dame, and that's 65 teams. And 13 of them they weren't part of the report because they're private schools that don't report or whatever. So out of the Power Five teams in Notre Dame, 52 of them were in this report by USA Today. And Virginia Tech was 42nd in revenue. So 42nd out of 52 of the schools that were listed. You know, that's not great. And It's interesting because I think a lot of Tech fans expect Virginia Tech to be competitive in everything. They expect them to be a top 10, top 20 football team. They expect them to be an NCAA, not expect, but ask and maybe even demand that they be an NCAA tournament team. And, you know, it's tough sledding because everything on the aggregate over time, everything always gets back to money. You can deviate from the norm if you have exceptional people working for you cheap, but they'll get hired away if you can't afford to keep them, you know. So when you look at where Virginia Tech is revenue-wise, and they're kind of in the 80th percentile, more or less, you know, the fact, the success they've had in football is pretty impressive, and the early success they had in ACC basketball was impressive.
So for those that don't know, Hokie Club donations, that doesn't factor into actual revenue numbers. That's something altogether different, if I'm not mistaken, right?
It does, with a caveat.
Okay.
And here's where it starts to get involved and boring.
Right.
If you look at the reports that Virginia Tech files with the Virginia Auditor of Public Accounts, they don't report Hokie Club donations separately. They only report the part that they actually spent on something. So,
okay.
It doesn't exactly in the reports represent what the Hokie Club.
So money sitting around in coffers isn't reported, is what you're saying?
Man, you know, the accountants, they move stuff around, you know. And I remember one time looking at a report many years ago that said that Syracuse made $5 million 1 year off of women's basketball. No, they didn't. That's insane. Nobody makes $5 million off of, not even UConn.
No.
Well, it turns out that Syracuse, to cover a shortfall, had transferred money in from their general university fund, and they had allocated it in the women's basketball income. So that's the kind of stuff these reports include. So
okay.
It's, you know, it's kind of, it sort of paints a picture, but it's kind of like an impressionist picture. If you get up close or really look at it, you can't tell what you're looking at.
Fair enough. Will Stewart, Chris Coleman, TechSideline.com, joining us here in the McAdoo studios. All right, let's get off the numbers crunching. Will, is there a give me a recruiting update. I don't even know that I've – is there a football recruiting update to even be had right now? Are there some notable things happening, really?
Well, we ran a – Chris Horn, who covers recruiting for us, ran an update on the site last night. He talked to Dwayne Lawson's high school coach.
Okay. And I did see that.
Lawson's high school coach says he has qualified, that he has everything he needs. They're just waiting on transcripts, and they're going to send it in. And, you know, Lawson was a guy who hadn't qualified, but it's not like he was in doubt. Some, like Tim Settle, for one, is really in doubt. He's gonna come down to the wire. So it was assumed that Lawson was gonna make it, and according to his coach, he did.
That's good.
And that's big.
A big deal.
Yeah,
that's huge.
I think he's the truth.
You think he's that? I mean, like we've talked about how good we think he can be.
Yeah.
But I mean, you're saying, is there something new that you've decided upon? You just think?
I think he's really good.
I do too.
Yeah.
I think he's really good too.
His coach said he's up to 6'6". So
it's large.
Yeah.
It's large.
Yeah, it's a big guy and. State track champion down in Florida.
That was it.
Two-time
state champion.
So how explosive is this guy?
Yeah.
It's pretty exciting,
and he's
right?
going to be one of these long leg guys whose speed is deceptive because he's so tall, like Vince Young.
Right.
Like so when he's running Terrell Pryor.
So when he's running a 4.3, you don't realize he's running a 4.3 is what you're saying. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's pretty exciting.
If you watch his highlights, he breaks open downfield, and you're like, hey, he's not running very fast, and he's running away from
And
guys.
Then, no, but yeah, he's running away from Florida guys, and they can't catch him from behind. And he can throw the ball 65 yards in the air on a rope.
All due respect to Virginia kids. I love Virginia kids as much as anybody does, but the Florida kids are a different breed. At the higher levels, they're a different breed.
And there's just so many of them.
That's the thing. There's so many more kids in these schools. The pool is so much deeper to choose from, and the quality of athlete across the board is just higher than it. Like, and I say all the time, you know, Virginia has become, you know, one of the top 10 to 12 states on a yearly basis, you know, in terms of talent producers, but Florida's never going to drop out of that top three. Florida, California, and Texas, it's always going to be those three states.
It's always going to be those top three. I can't see, unless there's some kind of annexation. You know, if Georgia annexes South Carolina and North Carolina, then I don't know.
The kid is very, 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 very talented. Now, a couple of five-star offensive linemen that are being chased right now? I mean, again, this is all early stuff, but is there anything that sticks out to you at all?
The Landon Dickerson kid, I think, is really good.
Yeah.
And some sites have him as a three-star, some have him as a four-star, but are considering putting him as a five-star. I think he's one of those upper-level four-star guys. Definitely the best offensive lineman Virginia Tech is recruiting this year. His grandfather played at Virginia Tech. He really likes Virginia Tech. Right now, Tech and Tennessee are on top. South Carolina, Florida State, Alabama are also involved. I wish he'd hurry up and commit. Because I think the longer that goes on and the more visits he takes, the less likely we are to get him.
Okay.
On the other hand, Josh Ball is from the state of Virginia. I think the longer that goes on, the more of a chance we have. No, he just revealed his top 15. So that's how interesting his
coming at
4:30. Right,
my top 19 schools.
Yeah. So like, check back in like 2 months for Josh Ball. Yeah, it's absolutely
it's
ridiculous.
Absurd.
Yeah.
Well, and the thing about the Josh Ball update that we ran this week was he talked about Virginia and Virginia Tech kind of because he had to, you know, because he was asked about them. But he was really saying things like, I want to go where they win national championships. Just didn't sound good for Virginia Tech.
Tech has gotten back in and with him. Like, they have a better chance right now than they did a month or two ago, I think. But that's mostly because of Stacy Searles, his reputation and the fact that he's a very good recruiter. And he's the type of person that offensive linemen like to be around, like his whole demeanor as an individual. So I think the reason the Tech is still in it for Josh Ball is pretty much all owed to the fact that Stacy Searles is the offensive line coach.
Recruiting bothers me sometimes.
Yeah.
It does.
Sometimes.
So, I mean, I'm trying to tread lightly here because you guys do a really good job covering recruiting. So I'm not trying to dissuade anyone from following recruiting. It's just the actual stuff that goes on makes me just the top 15s, the top 18s, you know, just the over the top,
God.
You know, blowing the smoke up these kids' behinds. I mean, it just
there's no way I could ever have a top 15 list. I mean, even if I was a completely
I don't have a top 15 favorite foods list.
Yeah, I know.
How could you have a top 15 favorite college football school list?
When you haven't even visited most of them, and
yeah,
it's just
I think Ball was going to go visit Alabama, even though he didn't have an offer from him. You know, so that's
he's trying to get an offer.
So basically, he's seen him on TV,
sweet,
I guess.
Sweet baby Jesus.
Yeah.
I just the process has become just too much.
And you can't tell me that there's not a massive amount of cheating going on these days. Well,
no, of course
well,
there
well,
is.
Well, there's the point I want to make is you see all these kids going around making unofficial visits mm-hmm. to like 10 schools every summer.
Yeah.
Some of these kids come from impoverished backgrounds.
Yep.
How can they afford to like take these long trips, 300-400 miles?
Haven't we been asking that question for 2 years?
Yeah, right.
You know.
Right. And these are unofficial visits that the schools technically can't pay for.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So how in the world, you know, and I'm not saying that Josh Ball fits that category because I don't think he does. But I think a lot of these guys who take all these visits, you're like, man, I can't afford that. I'm a grown man with a job, you know,
and no wife and no kids.
That's right.
So it's a legitimate question. We've been asking it for a couple of years, but it's the aspect of the process and the industry, honestly, that bothers me a lot. Let's take a break. We'll come back. Still way more to get to. We got some good questions for Chris and Will. Chris Coleman, Will Stewart, TechSideline.com here in the McAdoo studios with us. Y'all keep it locked. The Super Sports 101.7.